So, brethren, as we come to our last sermon in this short series, we need to remind ourselves of what we learned from this life of Apostle Paul. That we learned that through Paul's salvation, Christ received glory. That this glory he received was presented as one who is willing to save even the worst of sinners. And that he is able to use these worst sinners to accomplish his purpose on this earth. And through this worst sinners, Christ can receive glory. And we also saw that if Paul was this worst sinner, then Paul was an example of those who will be saved. That no one can think that they are too sinful not to be forgiven by God. And last week we learned of the life that Apostle Paul lived. We learned how we considered his life to be of no value to him. We learned as well how he gave up the world and everything in the world so that his eyes may look only on Christ who saved him. And that Paul was a man who was possessed by Christ. And that he lived his life in such a way that he will not be ashamed at the day of judgment. And that was why he was able to say, I am innocent of the blood of all men. So this week then, I want us to look at the glory of God in Paul's suffering. I want us to see what a man or woman who lives his or her life in the way that Paul lived his life can expect in this world. I want us to see of the rewards, if we can use that word, that you can expect if you were to live your life the way Paul lived his life. That if you were to be possessed by Christ the way Paul was possessed by Christ, how would the world react to you? If you were to be determined to one day say, I am innocent of the blood of all men, how would the world react to you? And if you are to be a person who considers his life to be of no value to him as long as Christ is glorified, then what kind of reaction would you expect from God and the devil? So then we are trying to answer a question: would the world appreciate you if you lived the way Paul lived? If that, let's turn our Bibles in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. We read from verse 22 to verse 33. We will not preach only on this text, but we will use it as one of the texts that we will preach from. He says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman, with far greater labor, from far more imprisonment, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, He who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. At Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's close our eyes and pray. We thank you, O Lord, for your goodness and your mercy towards us. We thank you because we know that you care for us, O Lord, that you care for our sanctification. You care, O Lord, that we may be like your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That even, O Lord, as we read the sufferings of Paul, O Lord, we know that you want us, O Lord, to desire you the way that he desired you. Because you know, O Lord, that in suffering the power of Christ rests upon us. Speak to us, O Lord, even this morning. Speak, O Lord, that we may hear your word being preached to us, your people. That we may be men and women, O Lord, who will desire you, who will be filled with a desire for your glory. So we pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, brethren, this testimony we have read from Apostle Paul this morning, he is telling us of what has happened to him as a result of the life that he lived and the faith that he had in Christ. We have seen of how he was saved. And we have seen of how he has lived his life. And today we see the things that he went through because of the life that he lived. So now Paul is in a way telling us of the thing that happened to him because of the life that he chose to live. As you read this text, there is one thing that immediately comes to your mind. That Paul is not telling us of the big house that he lives in because of his Christian faith. He is not telling us of the prosperity he enjoys because he's the man of God. He is not telling us of the wealth that he has because God has blessed him. He is not telling us of the nice clothes that he is wearing because somehow he is the anointed of God. He is not telling us of the nice food that he has each and every day. He is not telling us that whenever he travels first class in a cruise ship. He is not telling us just how healthy he is as a person. this man Paul is not boasting to us of his great faith and the great blessings he has received from God. Instead, he boasts of his sufferings. He boasts of the things that shows his weaknesses. He's saying my sufferings are a sign of favor from God. Because when I am suffering, then the grace of God overwhelms me. He's saying, when I am suffering, then the power of Christ rests upon me. He's saying, God has allowed me to suffer so I may not boast in myself, but look only to Him and find joy in the grace that He has towards me. I want us to look at things that causes Paul to suffer. And as we look at these things, remember the kind of person that Paul was. Remember that this was a man who was on fire for God. That this was a man who loved God with all his mind, soul, and heart. This was the man who said to the church, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He was an example of what a Christian is supposed to be. So keep these things in mind then as we look at these sources of his suffering. Source number one is that the world caused Paul to suffer. Now as we look where we read, we see remarkable sufferings that he went through. He's giving us a glimpse of the things he ought to go through from the people of this world. He says that he has been more in prison than these false prophets who are challenging his apostleship. This was a man who was put in prison by the same people who was trying to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one of the instances where he was put in prison, we read it in the book of Acts chapter
16.
We see how Paul and Silas, they were put in prison because they cast a demon from a young girl. And instead of the people who saw this miracle rejoicing and worshipping God, they take Paul and Silas and put them in prison. So now we find this same Paul who used to imprison Christians being the one who is now thrown into prison. So the same one who was imprisoning Christians is the one who is testifying of the number of times he has been in prison. The same world he tried to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ is the same one that now repays him with evil. He tried to show this world that there is eternal freedom found in Jesus Christ, but they took his earthly freedom from him. To to this world, Paul was unworthy to live as a free man. He had to be imprisoned. The world considered Paul to be unworthy of freedom and imprisoned him time and time again. Even when he went to Jerusalem to his own people to go and testify to them, they took him and they put him in prison. People did not care that this man has our well-being in mind. They only saw as a man who's worthy to be imprisoned. Paul was in danger from the world that he lived in. And where we read, he said, I was in danger from my own people. I was in danger from the Gentiles as well. That I was in danger in the city and in danger in the wilderness as well. And I was in danger at sea and in danger elsewhere from the false brothers. So Paul now finds himself having no place where he can go and not be in danger because of his faith. And we read as well that the world not only imprisoned him, but they subjected him to torture and beatings. This man who sacrificially gave up his body for the sake of all the world had his body subjected to beatings. And then we read his testimony here saying, I've suffered countless beatings. And then he says, often I was near death. And then he says, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. And then he says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. So that same body that he said he gave it as a sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, was the same body that was beaten with rods. He was used to his body being beaten until the bones appear on his body. He was used to his body being made a public spectacle of the kind of harshness of the beatings he could get. The world did not consider him as a man who cares about their souls, but just as a man who deserved to be beat. So Paul says, my body has been used as a punching bag for the world. And then he says, even robbers, they've robbed me a couple of times. It did not matter to them that I was a servant of God, but they continued to rob me. And you will think that those who are in authority, those who are kings and governors, will treat Paul better. But then we read in verse 32 that he says the governor at Damascus wanted to arrest him. So this man did not find rest from anyone. Even nature itself treated Paul badly. Not only did he suffer from the world, but he suffered from the natural beings as well. He says three times the ship that I was traveling in was broken in the middle of the sea. And then he says, I had to spend the night and day in the middle of the sea. He says, I was also in danger from rivers. So this was a man who knew how to suffer and be in the middle of the sea and not getting help he needed. And it seems that nature itself could not handle a man who was filled with the Spirit of God. That nature itself gave him the worst of treatment. So what do we learn from all this,
Reverend?
That if you were to be a man and a woman who will live the same way that Paul did, if you are to be a man or woman who loves Christ more than you love anything in this world, a man or woman who will speak like Paul and say, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world, then you need to know that the world won't cheer you. That this world of sin will not give you a round of applause and thank you for your life. Instead, this world will revile you and speak all kinds of bad things about you. Instead, this world will not honor you but will treat you worse than it treats murderers. That this world will not fight for your freedom, instead will deny you your freedom. That this world will fight for the Barabbases of this world to be released from prison, while they shout that you must be crucified. So then you need to remember that you are not better than your master, the Lord Jesus Christ. That you cannot be better than Apostle Paul. That if you were to live a life of holiness towards God, that the world will find fault with you. And we see that this is the same thing that Jesus told his disciples. If you go to the book of John chapter
15,
Jesus testifies of how the world will treat those who follow him. He says in verse 18, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world will love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And then he says in verse 20, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you as well. So brethren, we should not desire the glory of God so that the world could love us. Instead, we should desire the glory of God so that God may be glorified in us and through us. As you come closer and closer to God, you need to understand that you will be further and further from the world. That as you see God, you will become like a foreigner to this world. And this world does not treat foreigners very well. It does not matter where you go, but if you are foreigner, this world will treat you harshly. And that is what will happen to you if you are a man who will desire God. And that is what happened to Apostle Paul as well. So now we see source number two, that the devil caused Paul to suffer. You see, brethren, Paul was the devil's greatest enemy. No man had tormented the kingdom of the devil like Paul did. No man had brought so much confusion in the devil's kingdom like Paul did. Wherever Paul went, the kingdom of Satan was left in confusion. Paul will come to a city where the devil ruled. Where there was so much darkness and people did not know the light of God. Yet by the time he left, that city will be shining with the glory of God. By the time Paul left the city, there will be people who are on fire for God. So there were reasons for the devil to not like Paul. Even the demons cried in fear of Paul. Because they knew that Paul was this carrier of Christ Jesus. They knew that Paul destroyed their plans with his prayer life and preaching ministry. We see in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And in this place of Ephesus, it seems as if there was a lot of demonic activity that was happening there. And one day there were two men who were trying to cast out a demon from another person. And this demon replied and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know. And that showed that the demon well recognized that Paul was a man who was on fire for God. That the devil kingdom knew that Paul was on fire and that Paul was dangerous to what they were doing. So now we read in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. From verse 7 to verse 9. So Paul says, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So here, brethren, we see a similar situation happening to Paul that happened to Job. How Job was a blameless and upright man who feared God. And because of that, Satan tested him. Because he was a man who was on fire for God, Satan made him to suffer. So now here we have Paul, a similar man who feared God and lived a life devoted to God. And now we see the same similar situation that Satan made him to suffer. Paul here says, there was a thorn in my flesh that came directly from Satan. And that this thorn was the messenger of Satan which had been sent to torment him. And Paul says, this thing makes me suffer in my body. And 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But the Lord will not allow it to be taken away from me. So Paul says this phone was given him to him so that he might not boast of himself. That it was given to him to remind him that he's not in heaven yet. It was given to him so that he might not be puffed up with pride. And this thorn from the devil tormented him each and every day. So because Paul was this man who was possessed by Christ, he became a target for the devil and his demons. All the demons in hell were dedicated to silencing him. And day and night they discuss the plans and strategies on how they can destroy his plans. They stirred the hearts of the people to persecute Paul, but they could not succeed. And time and time again, they tried to bring so much suffering to his life, but time and time again, Paul persevered. And they sent this phone to torment him in his flesh, but all of it was in vain. So we learn, brethren, that if you were to dedicate your life to God the same way that Paul did, that if you were to be possessed by Christ the way that Paul was, that you should know that the devil will take notice of you. That all of hell will know that there is a man and a woman in Oliven who is on fire for God. And all of hell will devise plans that are aimed at destroying your faith. That you will become a target for the devil and his demons. That they will try to find things that will distract your prayer life. That they will devise plans that will discourage you from following God. That they will put things in your way that will make you not to desire God in the same way. That they will put things that will make you become scared to share your gospel with people. And if all else fails, they will come for your body. They will give you a thorn in the flesh that like it was given to Apostle Paul. That Satan will request God that allow me to persecute his body. to say, let's see if he or she will still serve you if he's sick in his body. That's the same thing that the devil did to Job. And that's the same thing that he did to Apostle Paul. And that's the same thing that will happen to you as well if you will desire God in the same way. So brethren, the road to seeking the glory of God will cost you everything. You will become an enemy to this powerful being who rules this world called Satan. You will find yourself in this war that will only end if you surrender or if you die. But if you are of Christ, you will not surrender, you will march on. You will not surrender, you will continue to seek the glory of God. You will not surrender your desire for God and your desire for revival, even if it costs you your own body. So we see then from the life of Job that his desire for the glory of God cost him his family, his wealth, and his health. Are you prepared to suffer the same way then for Christ? And we see as well that the desire for God to glorify, for Paul to glorify God, cost him everything as well. That in the end he paid with his own very life. That he desired the glory of God so much that his head had to be severed from his body. As we desire God, we need to be prepared for that possibility as well. And we need not to fool ourselves to think that Satan will not notice us and that he will not retaliate against us. But regardless of what might happen to us, we need to desire God in the same way. And all these things caused Paul so much anxiety and so much suffering in his life. Now Paul writing to the church in Colossae, we read this 4 weeks ago. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, he says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, the church. So, brethren, if we were to live a similar life to that of Paul, if you were to be on fire for God and live the same way that Paul lived, you will find that your concern will not only be for this church but for the other churches as well. Christ calls Paul to suffer. Listen to the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1,
verse 5.
Paul says, for as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. So Paul here says we share in the sufferings of Christ. And not only do we share in his sufferings, but we share in them abundantly. Because we identify ourselves with Christ, then we will suffer the same sufferings that Christ suffered. That the grace of Christ, which we are partakers of, brings with it also the sufferings of Christ. That if Christ suffered, then we will also suffer. After all, a student is not greater than his master. So in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, Paul says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may share in the sufferings of Christ and becoming like him in his death. So Paul was indeed a man who shared in the sufferings of Christ. He considered it an honor to share, to suffer the way Christ suffered. He considered it an honor to have the same struggles that Christ had for the sake of the glory of God. As Paul is saying, imitate me as I imitate Christ, he knows that this process of imitation includes imitating Christ in his suffering as well. So Paul desired to be like Christ in every way, including in his sufferings. But Paul also knew that if he shared in the sufferings of Christ, he will also share in the glory of Christ. And since his desire was to glorify God, then he saw it as necessary that he should suffer with Christ. And Paul is not the only disciple who saw the same thing. We see the same thing from the life of Apostle Peter. In 1 Peter 4 verse 13 says, but rejoice in as far as to share Christ's suffering. That you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. So brethren, suffering for Christ is something to be desired. That you must partake in the glory of Christ on that day when he will be revealed to the whole world. So that then we must see these sufferings of Christ as something to be joyful about. That instead of running away from Christ's suffering, we should run towards it. That we should seek to suffer the same way that Christ suffers. So that our joy may be filled on that day when Christ will be revealed. So that one day when we stand next to him, we will rejoice because we have shared in his suffering and now we are sharing in his glory. So Paul says we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings. So that through Christ we may share abundantly in his comfort as well. So brethren, just in closing, do you fear suffering for Christ? is the pain that suffering brings with it something that keeps you from serving Christ fully? As Paul is testifying here, do you have second thoughts on whether you want to serve Christ in the same way that Paul served him?
How Paul was in one of the Masoko Afitilamo and I got away now and happy.
Does this suffering that Paul is talking about make you think that maybe I should not desire God in the same way? Is this suffering from the world making you think that maybe I should just be a moderate Christian, but not the one who desires God the same way that Paul did? But note one very important thing about this text we read in 2 Corinthians chapter
11.
That Paul doesn't tell us of his suffering so we can feel sorry for him. Paul doesn't write about this thing so we can feel pity for him. He's sharing with us his sufferings that we might rejoice with him. He's sharing with us his sufferings that we may seek to suffer the same way that he did. He desired us to experience this mercy of God that was upon him that came through his suffering. He's showing us his suffering that we may see that the grace of God is sufficient even in suffering. He's showing us that the power of Christ is manifested in suffering. He's showing us that even when he's weak, then he's strong because the power of God rests upon him. He's not telling us about his suffering that we may not desire it. It's not telling us of his suffering that so that we should not live the same way. This is not a warning from Apostle Paul to us. But this is an encouragement to us that we should serve God in the same way. So you should not fear the suffering that you may encounter in this world. You should not be afraid to seek God because Satan will notice you. You should not be afraid to have concern for the other churches of God because it will consume your heart. Instead, take it upon yourself to have this zeal for the house of God. Love the church of God the same way that Christ loves it and has given himself up for it. And most importantly, seek to share in the sufferings of Christ. So that you may also share in his glory. May you desire that one day when Christ comes, that you may hear these words that he will be saying to you. That well done, good and faithful servant. That you have been faithful with a few things. And I will put you in charge of many things. That come and share in your master's happiness. So, brethren, I really hope that we're encouraged as we learned about the Apostle Paul. That it is possible that you may serve God in the same way that He served you. That even if sufferings come to you, that you should not be discouraged. That you may see that this man had no pity upon himself. But that he rejoiced in Christ. And I don't think in heaven right now he said that he lived the way he lived. And everyone who will live the way he lived will not be sad when he gets to heaven. For all eternity, he will be happy that he lived the way he lived. But brethren, if you will not live the way that Paul lived, when you get to heaven, you will regret that you did not live that way. When you see the life that God had in store for you, if only you desired Him more, If you were to see that life, you will wish that you may go back to the world and live like Apostle Paul lived. So then may we not lose out on the purpose that God has in plan for us. May we pray each and every day of our lives that we may live the same way that this man Apostle Paul lived. May the Lord bless you. Let's close our eyes and pray. We praise you, O Lord. We give you thanks and honor, O Lord, for such men like Apostle Paul, men that we can look up to. Men, O Lord, who shows us that indeed our lives are not the way they are meant to be. Who shows us, O Lord, that there is a long way that we still have to go. That, O Lord, we did not desire you the same way that we're supposed to desire you. That we do not love you the same way that we love you. But, O Lord, as we have learned so much, may we not just be those who hear your word, but, O Lord, may we apply it in our hearts. May we desire that you may work in us the same way that you worked. That you worked in him, O Lord. May we see, O Lord, that this man in heaven is not regretting it, but that if we continue to live lives of mediocrity, that we will indeed regret it. But that we may give of our lives now, that we may give of our desires and all that we love, that you only may be that we love and desire. So be gracious to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.